And we're going to look at the extraordinary prayer, extracts of which we read out from 1 Kings chapter 8. And we're going to see how Solomon prayed God's blessing and healing on a whole long list of people. I want to explain how prayer can work to bring blessing and some examples of how God has blessed. And then I want to tell you about a very practical way in which God can bless us and bless our community. In fact, a couple, but we'll see how it goes. Okay, let's go back to our reading. This is the context. That is an artist's reconstruction of the first temple that was built in Jerusalem. It's about 950 BC, and Solomon has just built this beautiful temple and endowed it. It's covered in gold and marble, and it's all extraordinary. And the time comes for the whole nation to come and dedicate this temple to the Lord. And the story is recorded in two places, 1 Kings 8 and 9, part of which we read, and the other one is in 2 Chronicles 6 and 7. And what we have here is we have Solomon's prayer of dedication, and then we have God's response. And this is part of his prayer. Look at it. Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenants of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. Can you imagine Solomon standing there in all his beautiful robes, and the Levites and the priests are all there, and the whole nation is spread out before him. They've made all these sacrifices. You've kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you fulfilled it as it is today. The Lord promised that David's son Solomon would build a temple, and indeed his promise was kept. So Solomon begins by who God is, that he's a loving and faithful God who keeps his promises. And then he faces an issue head on. This is the issue. How can we possibly suggest the God of the universe would ever dwell in anything constructed by human beings, however beautiful the building was? Will God really dwell on earth, prays Solomon? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you, much less this temple I've built. It's one of the most beautiful buildings ever constructed, but how can it possibly contain the God of the universe? But then God realizes something. Of course, God won't be dwelling there. Of course not. You can't confine him to a building. But because the building bears God's name, he will meet his people there, and he will hear their prayers. May your eyes be open towards this temple night and day, this place in which you said, my name shall be there. So you will hear the prayer your servant prays towards this place. Hear the supplication of your servant, that's Solomon, and of your people Israel, when they pray from towards this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. You know, that's a theme picked up again and again in the prayers of the Bible. This is what people say. They say, Lord, please grant my prayer, not because of who I am or what I have done, but because of who you are. Do you remember when we looked at Abraham and he was interceding for Sodom, and he said, far be it from you to do such a thing. Do you remember to destroy the city for the sake of 50 people and 40 people and 45 people and 10? You know, do you remember that? And then do you remember Daniel? In Daniel chapter 9, and he said, we do not make requests of you because we are righteous because of your great mercy. There's a great history, the great tradition in the Bible of reminding God who he is, you know, bring his words back on him. And then Solomon asked God to bless his people in all sorts of situations, people seeking justice. When the God allows the nation to be defeated in battle because of their sin, when there's drought or famine or plague. And the good thing is that what Solomon does is he doesn't just ask God to fix the disaster, but fix the underlying problem, the sin that got them there in the first place. Hear from heaven, he says, and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live, and send rain on the land you gave to your people for an inheritance. You see? Even extends to foreigners, those outside the covenant. As for the foreigner who doesn't belong to your people Israel, okay, he says that hear from heaven your dwelling place. Do whatever the foreigner asks of you. I'll come back to that in a moment. And it's quite clear that God answered this prayer. And we know God answered the prayer for several reasons. First of all, it's not recorded in Kings, but it's recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. When Solomon finished his prayer, God sent down fire to set fire to the sacrifice. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. It says the priests cried out, "He is good. His love endures forever." So you see, the Lord accepts their prayer and their sacrifices. That's the first reason we know their prayer is answered. The second reason we know that it's answered is because shortly after this event, we know that God appeared to Solomon, probably in a dream, second time of his life, 1 Kings 9, 1-3. When Solomon finished building the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and achieved all he had desired to do, the Lord appeared to him a second time, as he appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, "I've heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." Actually, what he goes on to say, "I'll keep my promise. If you follow me faithfully, there will always be a descendant of David on the throne of Israel." But he also, there's another bit of his promise. He says, "If you don't follow me, then I will reduce this temple to a heap of rubble." Can you imagine that? And actually, that's exactly what happened almost 400 years later, 586 BC. The people of Judah, the southern kingdom of Judah, had rebelled, and the Lord allowed the Babylonians to come and destroy the walls of the city. They came into Jerusalem, and they razed the temple to the ground. Now, how can we know God's blessing? Do we have anything we need to do to grasp God's blessing? What is it? Four things I just wanted to mention to you, so we can know God's blessing. The first one is the grace of God, God's unmerited favor. God blesses people just because of who he is. We're going to come onto that again in a minute. But if you've had good parenting, or if you've been good parents, you know you love to bless your children just because you love them. And I had a wonderful example of this a couple of years ago, and it's this place here, which I'm sure all of you know. It's the Western Wall in Jerusalem. That's the nearest place you can get to where Solomon actually prayed this prayer. And as you go up onto the Temple Mount itself, this is right on the edge of the temple enclosure. And a Jewish guy who I know, who's a rabbi now actually in Jerusalem, he said, you as a foreigner, when you go and pray at the wall, at the Western Wall, you are specially blessed because God promises to answer your prayers. And let's have this, I'll read it to you. Let me read to you the words again that we had from the prayer. This is what Solomon's prayer said. He said, "As for the foreigner who doesn't belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, when they come and pray towards this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. Do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you as you do your own people Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name." So what he's saying is, if foreigners come because they've heard your name, please do what the foreigner asks. So there we are. That was me. I come a long distance because of the name of the Lord to go to his temple, you know. And there I stood at the Western Wall wearing my little kippah, you know, the little prayer hat that Jewish people wear. You have to go up to the wall, you have to wear a kippah, okay? You have to wear a hat. And I just read the whole of 1 Kings 8, and I got to this bit about foreigners, and tears just began to stream down my face. And a man passed me, it was Friday evening, and he said, "Shabbat Shalom." Shabbat Shalom, it means the blessing, the peace of the Sabbath be upon you. And everyone says it. It's like saying hello or, you know, have a good weekend or something. And he said, "Shabbat Shalom." And I was so overcome, I couldn't say anything. And which is not really polite, but I just couldn't say anything. So he walked past, and then he came back and he said, "Shabbat Shalom." I said, "Oh, sorry, Shabbat Shalom, kind of, and he said, are you Jewish? I said, no, I'm a Christian, but look at this. And I showed him the verses, and he said, that's for you. And I said, yeah, that's for me. And those verses are very special to me. So on what basis can I know that God's going to bless me? Because he is my Father. And grace means God's unmerited favor. We know and can know the unmerited favor of God. Nothing of our own merit. The Lord blesses us because that's the kind of God he is. And because of the death of Jesus, the blood of Jesus cleanses me from every sin. That's how I can know God's favor and blessing. Okay, the second basis upon which we can know God's blessing is when we are one in heart and mind. Psalm 133, famous verses again. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head coming down on the beard, even Aaron's beard coming down on the edge of his robes. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. Of course, you know oil is a sign of the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament and the Old Testament. So how can we know God's blessing? To dwell together in unity. We saw it in the early church. Acts chapter 4. All the believers were one in heart and mind. They shared everything they had, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, that there were no needy persons among them. Notice it says one in heart and mind. We're not talking about mere formality. We're not saying we unify for appearance's sake. But when the Lord sees his people truly united, he commands a blessing. And we saw it just last weekend. Last Sunday was a day of incredible blessing. On Sunday morning, the four Anglican churches met together to worship in a joint service, a combined service, for the first time in many years. I mean, I think probably various people have been together in one service in the past, but actually this was the first time, certainly since I've been here, that we had a combined Sunday morning service. And there we were, the choir were all robed up, and then we had a worship band, which Mike led, which was great, really great. People really enjoyed, you know, even the more traditional people enjoyed the worship music, which is great. And there were three officiating clergymen in the front. I was one of them. We were there, all there in our identical frocks. And what was interesting was there was John Cooper from St. Mark's. There was Tony Higgins from Studdon. There was me here from All Saints. And we all had our hands worshipping up in worship. It was amazing. It was amazing. And it was great. And everyone said afterwards how brilliant it was. And why don't we do it again soon? And we're going to talk tomorrow about doing just that. And then, and Nick's already told us a little bit about it, in the evening, up to 60 of us, got together. Right, we were at the back of All Saints, and we were there for a half night of prayer. And there were people and leaders from at least 9 different churches, and it was remarkable. And God spoke so clearly through the evening because we were together in unity. And I've been looking through the words that were said. Let me just give you a couple here. This is one of the words the Lord brought. I'm coming to heal hearts that are wounded and broken, and hearts that have become faint and weary. And as you wait upon me, you will rise up like young men who've grown weary. I come to give you strength. I've come with power. I'm in your midst. Drink deeply of the waters of the Spirit. Drink deeply of the waters of life. Be refreshed. Be comforted. I haven't left you comfortless. I've come to comfort you. I've come to stir you up. I've come to give you fresh life and fresh vision. Be not afraid, for I come. I come. Isn't that fantastic? Here's another one. Listen to this. Somebody said, I have a sense that God is saying, I'm coming. Here we go again. I'm coming. I'm going to do a new thing. It will not be easy. There will be troubled times. I need you to walk really close to me. Don't stray. Stay by my side. Keep your eyes fixed on me. Listen to what I'm saying. Be attentive to that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. I want to do a new thing. I need your help to do it. Walk with me. Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. It's just such an amazing time. Okay, so God loves to bless. He wants us to be one in heart and mind. Okay, and he wants to bless us because he's our Father. We're his children. One more thing to mention. Two more things, actually. One is repentance. Repentance. All the way through Solomon's prayer, there's a calling for God's people to turn back to him in repentance. That's the context of the prayer. Blessing follows repentance. famous, famous verses. Psalm 24. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord, says David? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by what is false, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. There's a famous story, which many of you, I'm sure, have heard, of a prayer meeting which took place in 1949, just before the Hebrides revival. It says this: one morning in the year 1949, a young man read out the well-known paragraph from Psalm 24 at the meeting. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Looking upon his prayer companions, he said in Gaelic, brethren, it seems to me just so much humbug to be waiting and praying as we are, if we ourselves are not rightly related to God. Then lifting his hands towards heaven, he cried, O God, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? He didn't get any further. That very moment, a revelation from God came unto the praying men, and an awareness of his presence lifted them into another dimension. Three of them fell to the floor with broken hearts. These are really straight Scottish Presbyterians here, by the way. Okay, fell to the floor. Okay, they were suddenly aware that they were no longer in a normal dimension, but in a supernatural one. Revival had come, and the power which had been released in that barn shook the whole community of Lewis. Amazing. And as Nick told us, last Sunday evening, there were six or seven of us as church leaders. We knelt together at the back of All Saints in repentance. We laid down our ministry in repentance and unity. And the Lord gave some fantastic pictures and words about that. Listen to this. I saw one big crowd over all the leaders, and each one of you had a different colored stone, a precious stone that was just for you. And I feel God is saying, when one of the stones has dropped out, my crown is not whole. Each one of you represents a different strand, a different jewel in that crown. Isn't that amazing? Another one here. I saw Swanage Bay with boats representing the different churches, and there were fish coming in. There were so many fish, the boats had to come alongside each other, pulling in the harvest of the fish. Can you see how the unity is really important? Okay. So, God loves to bless us. We repent. We are one. There's unity. One last thing. What made all the difference back in Jerusalem when the temple was dedicated was the presence of God. The presence of God. Fire came down and burnt up the sacrifice. When God is present, we can know his blessing in real and practical ways. We can ask him to bless our community. And we're looking to see the kingdom of God come in power through the transformation of our community. And we just don't want God to bless us here, do we? We want him to bless all the people out there. And when the presence of God comes in power, it's extraordinary how that the blessing leaks out. And one of the blessed examples of I've come across is this place. Anybody know where that place is? Felderbrennan. Felderbrennan, indeed. I've been reading a couple of great books by this man, Roy Godwin. A lot of us heard him speak, actually. This one I've read quite some time ago. It's called The Grace Outpouring. This is a more recent one, which I just borrowed from Stephen yesterday, and I've already read almost all the way through it, as you can see all my little stickers. It's a great book, and quite a quick read, because there's so many exciting stuff on every page. It's really brilliant. And in this first book, The Grace Outpouring, Roy Godwin tells how he was led with his wife Daphne to this little remote retreat center in Wales. And they began to play blessing on their community, and extraordinary things began to happen. And all sorts of things happened. They prayed blessing on the local area, on businesses, and for other houses of prayer around the world. And they specifically prayed blessing on the area. And they began to express, there were extraordinary miracles. People came to the Lord. People were healed, but also the land was touched in an extraordinary way. An old stream which had been dry for years suddenly started to bubble up with water. The sheep farmers reported their ewes were being very productive in the way they hadn't seen before. So should we have a go at that, Andrew? That'd be good. Yeah, up for that? Okay. And in the new book, in The Way of Blessing, Roy takes the story on further and talks about how God has been intervening amazingly in people's lives. And the results are extraordinary. Everyone who comes to Felderbrunnen, it doesn't matter what they come for, they can come to fix the gas or something. They're still invited to look around and take into the chapel and ask, would they like to receive a blessing? And nearly everybody says yes. And some of the results are extraordinary. There's a lady there, or there's somebody, sorry, a gentleman, I think, who hadn't heard for years, miraculously cured of deafness. A woman who'd never seen her children, or two of her children, cured of blindness and able to see. Okay, cancer's healed, remarkable stuff. And all that Roy and Daphne did was just pray blessing on people. That's all they did. And extraordinary things began to happen, as well as their whole community was being touched. And there's a great quote on the back from, maybe else, Felderbrunnen, Pete Gregg. He says, Roy Godwin invites us to carry the blessing of God out into the world to transform communities. So just in think you think I'm making this stuff up about transforming the community, almost every book I pick up at the moment has got this stuff on, about us being used by God to transform communities, okay? And, you know, God's doing stuff like this, the length and breadth of the country. So what can we do? How can we take this forward? How can we be involved? Well, by asking for God's mercy and grace, by being one in heart and mind, by making sure we have clean hands and a pure heart, by seeking the presence of God. But we've also got some other plans as to particularly how practically we can do this, to model the grace of God. It's what I'm going to be sharing with you in the coming weeks. But Lindy, can you grab a microphone? That one there. Good. And tell us a bit more about what we're doing on the 1st of April. On.
How's that?
There you go.
That's brilliant. Okay, the 1st of April, it's the time of year when we do the cafe and car wash. And as I was thinking about this morning, these are the words that came out. Well, the first word has to be prayer. So it's happening on the 1st of April, but we need to pray. We need to really, really pray. And next one is blessing, is a desire to care and a choice to love our community. Those that live around us. And then a building of trust and developing relationships. Don't we want to be a building without walls and be totally transparent? Well, I do. Does anybody else want that?
Yeah.
Exactly. So on the 1st of April, we are going to do the cafe and car wash again. And it's totally free for those that you don't know about it. We bless people. We bless them practically by washing their cars, by inviting them into the hall to have coffee. We turn this area into a complete like games area for young people and old people, whoever wants to be in here. And I've been asking one of our young people this morning, a couple of them, and they're going to provide all the music in here as well. So it's going to be a lot going on. We do have a sign-up sheet, but do you know what I really want you to do before you look at the sign-up sheet is say, am I committed to this? Am I committed to come and help? Not am I just committed to come and have my car washed, or maybe eat the wonderful cake that All Saints are so famous for, but am I committed to come and help? Am I committed to pray? And am I committed to come and help? That doesn't have to be a huge thing. Now, I know, for example, that some of you will just love to wash cars, okay? I mean, it's Madge here. You know, I mean, she's going to be out there, you know, with her wellies on, all right? She'll be the first out there, okay? Actually, Simon from Breakfast at 9 was the first on my list.
Right.
I already have people out here that I've filled since yesterday evening, I have filled every team leader slot. God is in this.
Fantastic. Great. Thank you. Yeah. So, look, you know, we're doing this because we want to bless our community in a practical way. But what I'm hoping for this year, we've done it before, and we've made some great connections. And one of the really good things that happens is people always try and give me money, all right? Because they know I'm the vicar, so they said, oh, look, can I pay you money for the car wash, or can I pay you money for the cakes and stuff? I said, no, honestly, it's free. No, you want some money, don't you? Church always needs money. I said, no, we don't need money. We just want to bless you, you know? So, and that's a great thing to do. But actually, what I'm really hoping, and I'm really hoping that there's going to be a supernatural blessing going out from this place on that day. so that everyone who comes may know the presence of God.